Hello there, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Ken Fallon, and today we will be talking about SQUID proxy for local use. Now, first of all, what is SQUID? It's a free open source proxy server. And what's a proxy server? Well, that is nothing more than a server that clients on an internal network will go through to have their request forwarded out onto the internet. And the reason you might want to do that is, in a corporate IT environment, you typically will block access to the internet so that worms and viruses and all that sort of good stuff can't get out. If a PC is infected, they can't get straight out to the internet. So they go through a proxy server that may or may not require a username and password to get out. And then on the proxy server, dangerous URLs can be blocked, or more than likely has been used for in the past, is to monitor employee access so that they're not wasting time on the internet. That, of course, is illegal in some countries, specifically Germany, so you want to check the licensing laws in your country when applying a proxy server. However, that is not why I would use a proxy, or why what spawned me to install a proxy in the first place. There's really two reasons. First of all is getting around getting a secure connection to the internet when you're at a hostile location, and the other one is getting around URL obfuscation, or hiding of URLs. So let's talk about the first one first. So say, for example, you've got a laptop and you're at an internet cafe and you want to securely check your email, or you want to do some banking. Now, you have no idea who's listening on that connection. So what you would typically do is you would set up a proxy server on your home server. You would set up a secure shell tunnel into that server, and then you would redirect your browser to use your local host, and you would forward that port over the SSH tunnel into your browser, into your server at home. There's been a few episodes on that, a few podcasts on that. I don't think there's been any on the HPR network, but I'll give you all that you need to do. First of all, you need to install it, and that is apt-get install SQUID. So then you would once you've done that, you've got a SQUID proxy listening on the default port of 3128. And I think by default in most distributions, it allows the local host to connect out specifically for this reason, but it won't let anything else. So then you drop to a shell and you would type SSH space minus capital L space 3128 colon localhost colon 3128, and then username, at server, and whatever other options that you have. And what that will do is it'll open an SSH shell to your home server, and it will say anything coming in on port 3128 on this piece, my laptop PC, in the hostile environment. You encrypt all the traffic and you pump it out the other side of the tunnel, and you dump it up to the local port of 3128 on your server. So then you open up a browser and you go into your browser settings and you set the proxy server to be localhost and the port to be 3128, and in Firefox you'll set all the use this for all the other ports. There's a nice little add-on called Quick Proxy, I think, for Firefox that will allow you to quickly turn on and turn off the proxy server. Okay, so that's handy. You could also use that theoretically if your company blocks access to the internet, but they do allow SSH out. I would strongly advise you not doing that, because the traffic on an SSH tunnel can be examined with deep packet analysis, and also it's kind of unprofessional. So I would recommend, do your work at home. Unless, if your company has specific exemptions that allow you to do that, do your work at home. Otherwise, just don't do it. There's no point putting your job at risk. Now, the real reason that I installed this was to get around URL obfuscation. It's a word that I don't like, so we're referring that as URL hiding. So what they try to do is they try to make it very difficult for you to work out what the links are on the page. So they kind of do that two ways. First of all, they'll use a whole go of tricks. So if you go to www.pc-help.org, you'll /obscure.htm, you'll get a list of tricks. But it's also very common now to use JavaScript to do that. So they'll have several include files and some functions, and they'll generate the URL based on different parts of the, in different locations of the file, and then they'll put it all together. And they're also quite common to use things like timed URLs, where the URLs only remain valid for a certain period of time. And the logic is that by the time you figured out what the URL is, the URL is no longer valid. So, all that doesn't amount to a hill of beans, because if you pipe your redirect your browser to use a local host and either on a remote machine, or use the Squid proxy either on a local machine or on a remote machine, you can just tail the Squid logs, and your browser will have done all the hard work for you, and it'll simply give you a list of GET commands or POST or whatever, typically GET commands, with the URLs all reconstructed for you, and you can copy them and use wget to get whatever you want. Now, why would somebody be bothered to do that? First of all, most common one reason is to prevent the loss of their intellectual property, and the other reason I have seen is to do restrictions on streaming servers. So let's deal with the first one first. An example of that would be a site called marktplaats.nl, which is a Dutch version of eBay. They're actually owned by eBay, but they were bought over. And what they do is they put a, for some reason they don't want you to take, they don't want people to create databases of stuff on Marktplaats. So what they do is they hide the URLs, and they put a transparent GIF file over all the images. So if you're looking to create a scraper or something that would go out and, you know, check the website for, you know, new deals or whatever. So they have it so that if you right click on the image, they have a transparent GIF over the image of, say, you know, somebody selling a telephone or whatever. They have a transparent GIF over the image itself, and when you right click on that and go file save as, you get the transparent GIF because that's over it. It's also in use on YouTube, but for a different reason, and that is that YouTube uses a nice trick where they have all the graphics on the page are sent down as one single image. So the YouTube logo, the up arrow, down arrow keys, the stars, all the stuff that you see on a typical YouTube page is generated and sent down as one image. And then they use CSS to show certain parts of that image on the web page. I thought that was pretty cool. To get on to the other reason why they would use hide the URLs is for streaming servers. So you have regional licenses in place where TV traditionally has been broken up onto regions. And for example, if you want the latest episode of Desperate Housewives, for instance, the Republic of Ireland would have a different deal done than with the island of England, and they would have a different deal done with the Netherlands. So they would release it at different times, and they charge different amounts depending on where you are and where you live and your market segment, blah, 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 blah. However, that doesn't hold up any water in this, i.e. internet age, where people can connect into machines and where people can connect from anywhere in the world to your streaming service. So to get around that, they use a service called GeoIP, and that's at www.maxmind.com. And if you go to /app/support, you'll see that they actually provide free, and I don't know what the license is, I don't think it's GPL, but they provide modules for Let me have a look here. Various different programming languages. They provide a module for Apache. They provide a C library, Java, Class, Pascal, Perl module, PHP module, Python, and Ruby. They also provide Windows APIs, Pascal, and various different things. And they also supply the GeoIP country database in various different formats, CVS, MySQL, Oracle, and that sort of thing. And they allow you to use the country data for free. The one catch is that you need to automate the downloading of it yourself, and they don't provide city or regional level or company name level, which they do for, if you sign up to the service. But this is used by a lot of TV streaming people to block access to the playlists for the streaming servers. Interesting side note is that quite often the streaming servers themselves are proprietary blobs and they don't support GeoIP. And to put in firewall rules on firewalls or whatever slows down the streaming servers. So quite often if you get the URL somehow, for example having a proxy server hypothetically in your brother's house, and you can use the squid proxy over there to get the real audio SMIL file, and you can look in that to get there what the real audio stream actually is. And hypothetically, purely for research and reference purposes, you open up mPlayer from say another country, for example the Netherlands, you could hypothetically stream directly from the hypothetical servers that might hypothetically be in rte.ie. However, that of course would probably be illegal. Immoral. Anyway, to install Squid, we did aptitude install Squid, and here's a quick technical tip for working with config files. Now the Squid config file is very much like the traditional Unix or Linux config file, in that it's got a lot of comments in it, and it explains it. The config file itself is self-documenting, in that the documentation and all the values are in the config file, and the documentation is typically commented out with the octthorpe hash character. And a quick tip that I've used here is how to filter out the common files and filter out the blank line files, so that if you know the configuration of a config file, rather than it being 16 pages long, you can cut it down to just the meat and potatoes of it and get the bare essence of all the commands that are actually being run. So for the Squid config file, which is kept on etc squid, squid.conf, what you would do is you would run the command grep space minus v, and the v says, rather than displaying all the files that you found, it says don't display these files that are listed, don't display the lines that correspond to this search entry, excuse me. So we have grep space minus v, double quotes, and we have the char character, which is the circumflex accent, and it's typically over the 6 in the US keyboard. I'll include a link to that. Some people have referred to it as a Chinese hat before. Then you have the octothorpe character, and what that is the tic-tac-toe, what incorrectly is called the pound sign, and the double quotes, space /etc/squid/squid.conf, and then pipe that into grep space min v space double quotes, the Chinese hat again, and the dollar sign, and the double quotes. And what that does, the first one says look for any hash marks that are at the beginning of the line, and the second one says look for any beginning of the line and end of the line where there's no space between them, essentially a carriage return line, and don't show those. So essentially then you get a nice list of just the comments in the file. So I'll include links in the show notes to that. And what's actually, if anyone is looking for a idea to do a Hacker Public Radio episode, David, and doesn't want to do a LPI certification module, although I don't know why, because all the documentation is there, all you have to do is do it. Then a topic on regular expressions would be very cool, because while the syntax changes more or less a little bit between Perl and different websites and Bash and whatever, between Perl and Bash and the syntax changes between programs, the ideas more or less remain the same. Okay, the important config changes that you need to make in that file are ACL localhost source 172.0.0.1/32. More than likely that will be allowed. And to allow access from the local host, you need to have the line http://allow:localhost also uncommented. Now, if you want to have a proxy server on serving the machines on your local network and use some private networking, private subnets, you also need to have the lines ACL localnet space source space, and then you have 3.10.0.0.4/8, 172.16.0.0/12, 192.168.0.0/16, whichever one of those you're using uncommented, probably already is. Then you need to scroll down to the little bit further in your file and look for another line which says http://access:allow:localnet. And once you do that, save that file, you can restart Squid by calling /etc/initd/squid/restart, and then you will be able to proxy out from the internal network. Now, one good thing about Squid is if for some reason you're not allowed out, you will still see a Squid error message coming up in your browser, so you'll know that that part is working. If you don't see anything, then your tunnel is probably not working correctly, or you can't communicate with your proxy server. So that's a good way to know where the error lies. If you don't see anything, it's a tunnel issue, communication with the proxy server. If you see error on the proxy server, you know it's a permissions issue on the proxy server. Another thing that you can do is go to whatismyip.com or ipchicken.com or moanmyip.com, and you will be able to see that your IP address has changed to the IP address of your machine at home. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, well, that's been another episode of Hacker Public Radio. It's actually the fourth time that I've recorded it. I tried to record it this morning on the train, on the way into work on my bicycle and on the train, following advice from Dave Yates, and that did not work out at all. Okay, hope you found something interesting on that. I am available as always. The email address ken.fallon@gmail.com. You can also see comments on hackerpublicradio.org for this episode, or it should also be available on my blog, kenfallon.com. Feel free to send me your comments and suggestions. And that's all I have to say for now, and I wish you all a very good day.
Thank you for listening to Hacker Public Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.